Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap. How about that tonight? Come on, give it up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is he worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise? Come on, there's nobody like him. We love you, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, a leaf in the top. He who's begun a good work's going to finish it. Tonight, I declare it in the name of Jesus. Man, how many of y'all feel faith in here right now? Come on, lift your hand to heaven just for one more moment. Minister Daniel, will you get on the keys for me here just for a second? Jesse, he's got a mic for you. Come on, lift your hand. Why don't we take one moment? Why don't we welcome the real special guest? Come on, I'm not a special guest, but I know one. His name is Jesus. Don't y'all want to welcome the Spirit of God? He's here supernaturally. Lift those hands a little bit higher. The Spirit of God's going to start to move in this room. Even now, I feel the anointing starting to come. The glory of God starting to settle in the back corner, back pocket of this room. Lift your hands a little higher. Begin to receive. I see cancers and tumors beginning to come out of bodies in the back of this room. Those of you that have a diagnosis of growths or cancers or tumors, just lift a hand up right now. Lift it up high right now. Now somebody reach your hand over, lay it on their shoulder right now, the person with their hand up. Cancers, growths, tumors right now. Power of God's coming into their body. Just lay your hand on them right back over here. I'm telling you what, there'll be notable miracles coming. I prophesy notable miracles in the name of Jesus. I prophesy notable miracles in the name of Jesus. Right now we loose the fire of God's coming into your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I curse cancer. I declare every cell of cancer now is touched by the power and the presence of God, melted and running out of your body. There'll be sweat coming out of you in the middle of the night. There'll be things in your bed. Well, some of you will wake up at 2 a.m. There'll be something strange in your bed because God brought something out of your body by the gift of healing. I lose healing. I prophesy healing. I declare something good is happening in your body even now. Come on, somebody pray in the spirit right now. Oh, rabaka, 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 rabaka. Lift your hands up. I declare signs.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank
Come
you,
with me, man of God.
Jesus. We thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's no one else that can deliver the gift we need.
Thank you, Jesus. Rabaka, rabaka, rabaka.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord, we love you. There's no one like you, Lord. Lord, we love you.
I can see this man in the Spirit of God some 4 or 5 years ago. And there was a crushing that came upon his spirit, almost like a Gethsemane type moment. And it crushed him in such a way where the oil of God's coming out in a brand new way. Now I look at you and I look where it Bible says every scribe that's instructed in the kingdom of God's like a householder that goes into his treasury, brings out some things old and some things new. And there's a gift on the inside of you to bring the old and the new and to merge it together and to merge generations together supernaturally. You heard this man lead worship tonight. What you don't know is he can preach as well as anybody in the room too. I see it in the spirit. He has a pastoral gift. He also has a gift of excellence, and God's merging your gift and lifting it higher because there's a generation of worship leaders who need to know how to usher a room into the glory of God. So I've given you many gifts, says God. I've given you gifts of equipment. You have gifts and anointings and an ability to bring the presence into God, of God into the room. But in this next season, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you and I'm going to elevate your platform to a place that it's never been before. I see worship leaders all over America sitting in rooms where you're teaching them how to steward a move of God in the local church. You're teaching them how to bring worship and technology and also new texts that are even being invented even now, and to loose them in churches. And I see rooms here. I see you in Europe. I see you in America. I see you in Latin America. And I see your platform going and growing. There's a resource digital that'll be online as well, where guys will be in rooms and the glory of God is about to flow. God is honored by your gift, by your heart, by your servanthood. Come on, somebody give God the highest praise. I loose the glory and the power and the honor of God's. I bless you, man of God. Come on, somebody give God the highest, highest, highest. Come on, somebody give God. Come on, the shout of the King is among them. I said the shout of the King is among them. Hey, the shout of the King is among them. I hear the Spirit of God saying, I've done miracles of money for the school at KC, Alaska. I've done miracles of money for the school of KC, Alaska. God says, I'll do more miracles of money for the school of KC, Alaska, even this year, even this year, even this year. I prophesy financial increase to the school and this church. Somebody give God the highest praise. Man, don't you love Pastor Daniel? Don't you love Pastor Karen? What a wonderful, wonderful family. Wonderful people of God. I love my friend. What an honor it is to be with you. First time I saw Pastor Daniel, I heard this word in my spirit. He walked into my office. The word of the Lord came to me. I looked at him. I said, who are you, O Zerubbabel? But who are you, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become as a plain. And he shall bring up the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Right now, you're looking at the fulfillment of that prophetic word. I didn't know it. It was his life scripture at the time. Come on, now we look to the debt and we say, who are you, O mountain? I said, who are you, O mountain? I said, who are you, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become as a plain. And he will bring up the capstone and break the back of debt over this building with shouts of what, church? Come on, somebody shout grace one more time. Spirit of God starting to move right now. I see 3 years of supernatural increase coming to this church. There's 3 years of supernatural increase coming to this church. And on the fourth year, says the Lord, 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 there'll be gifts that'll blow the doors off of debt and break through over this congregation unlike you've ever seen. Look to the fourth year. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the prophet. I'm moving in your midst, and I will deliver my people from debt, and I will pay off this building, and I will reach my hand into Anchorage, and I will give you another building in Anchorage, and there will be thousands and multiplied thousands of people in the city of Anchorage that will come and bow before the King of Kings, because I am with them, says the Lord. I am with them, says the Lord. I am with them, says the Lord. I prophesy, a little one shall become a thousand. A little one shall become a thousand. And a small one, a strong nation. Come on, somebody give God one more hand clap in the house. Why don't you turn to your neighbor, tell him this, say you look like you've lost 20 pounds. Just tell him that, you look like you've lost 20 pounds. If you have to lie to him, we'll pray for you later. Amen. Tell your other neighbor, I don't believe in luck, but you're lucky you got to sit by me tonight. How many of y'all sense the glory of God's already in here tonight? If we'll stay out of his way, God will do something, won't he? Man, I'm excited. I come with great anticipation. I love your pastor. Your pastor's blown up our church so many times with the power of God and the anointing of God. What an honor it is to be back here at KC, Alaska. I love the Alaskans. I'm what I call a Kentexan is what I am. And I'm part Kentucky, part Texan. I was raised by cattle traders. We buy all the cattle in the southeast, sell them to Texas. And I thought Texans were tough. Everything in Texas will bite you, sting you, rattlesnakes, cactus, dust in your face. Then I came to Alaska, did my first men's conference. It was outside here. I was with you guys. And the sun started to go down. And these prehistoric Book of Revelation type mosquitoes started coming out of the woods. Me and the other boys from Kentucky are like, dear God, it's a plague. We missed the rapture, and we took off running. And the Alaska guys are just standing there, and they're eating their face right in front of them, and they didn't even care. I'm like, these are the toughest people in the world. Everything here will freeze you, drown you, maul you, whatever. But you guys are literally tougher than hell if you can live up here. Come on. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. How many of y'all enjoyed my wife, Jessie, this morning? She's a preaching machine. God knew I needed a preacher in the house or I would OD back in the 90s, so he sent me Jesse. I met her in a drug rehab. Her dad ran the rehab, and I was there as a freebase meth amp junkie in 1998. Best rehabs had pretty girls in them whose dads run the rehabs. I wouldn't give you a dime for a rehab director with an ugly daughter, amen? So the pastor of that church, he got me saved. He got me spirit-filled. He cast the devil out of me. Come on, somebody. Got me free. I got off the meth pipe. I got off the bottle. How many are thankful for God's deliverance from addiction and drugs? Got the straw out of my nose. Hey, I'm living free now. To pay that man for everything he did for me, I ran off with his daughter 2 years later. Amen? I'm that kind of guy. I'm looking to steal something tonight. Watch your purses, ladies. But I tell my kids, I don't tell them that story. I tell them we met like this. Some of y'all like to mess around a little bit, right? Any town we're in, any big city, if we're behind a 7-Eleven, I'll point at a dumpster and I'll say, you see that dumpster, kids? I met your mother at that dumpster right there. I came out of that 7-Eleven. She was drinking a leftover slushie out of that dumpster. I looked at her. We locked eyes. I walked across the 7-Eleven parking lot. I grabbed her by the hair. We kissed passionately, and we've been together ever since. That's what I tell them. Amen? And it's all a lie, but come on, that's fun, huh? Amen. I don't care who you are. Huh? Power of God's going to move tonight. Y'all want me to preach or prophesy? What do you want to do? You want me to preach or prophesy? Both. Nobody says both. You already been prophesied to do. Today, Jesse's always like, don't say that. It's like ask them, do they want ice cream or broccoli, right? Don't ask them that. Does somebody have a set of keys with a bunch of keys on it right now? Somebody got one of those old school keychains that can be a weapon. Who's got one, right? You got, who's got several keys on a keychain? I want a bunch of keys. You got right here. You're handy. Can I borrow this for a minute? All right, he's got the keys. Come on. I think I got a winner right here. This thing's at least 7 pounds. Do you have a chiropractor that works on you after you carry these around? All right, here's what we're going to do. All right, we're going to prophesy with these keys. Why don't you blow on those keys, man of God? Blow on them. Come on, blow again. One more time. That's the way you do the word of the Lord, amen? I want you to hold these keys in your hand, son. How many keys are in your hand right now? 25? Count them. Give me a number. He's got 11 keys. Thus saith the Lord, within 10 years, I'll put 11 properties that you'll own in your hand. Within 10 years, you'll have 11 properties I'll put in your hand. God's going to give you a grace of a king. You'll give yourself to ministry, but you'll also be a king. And the two of you will own land, own land, own land. I see doors. I see real estate. I see the mind to multiply supernaturally. In the next 10 years, there'll be 11, and that'll just be a beginning. In the first decade, you'll get to there. It'll be supernatural, and then after that, it'll go to another level. I'm telling you what, the wealth of the Lord will be released on your house in an unprecedented way, unlike you've ever seen. I prophesy abundance. I prophesy revival. I prophesy multiplication. I also hear your son singing. I see this one right here. She's powerful in the Lord, but I see your son, and I see him preaching in the pulpit. I hear him operating in the word of knowledge. I see a little boy mighty in the spirit, mighty in the spirit. And he's one of those preachers. He can preach and he sings. I'm jealous of guys like that, right? The guys that they preach a little bit, then they sing a little bit, they dance a little bit, they prophesy a little bit. He's got the package supernaturally. God will use him and God will lift him. And I see him in the nations of the earth. I see a prophet in your house. And I see this young lady. She's powerful. She marries well in the future. There's ministry in her DNA. She'll have like a covenant kindness, also a honing device towards people of truth. She won't like people that aren't for real. And you'll have to deal with it in her life because she won't even be able to play in church because it's like, I don't like them. There's something wrong with them. It'll be a discernment about them, and you'll have to work all that out. God bless you. This kid is blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody give God the highest praise. Come on, somebody give God the highest praise. Thank you, sir. I came here to be with friends. And came here to be around kings because I love you. I love Pastor Josh, Pastor Shannon. Let's give them a big hand clap. Been friends of mine almost a decade. How many of y'all love the Don, Dr. Morocco? I'm not a made man in this mob, but I'm a friend of the family. Amen? So it's good to be here and be a friend of the family as well. And I came here to see my friends, but I didn't just come here to see my friends. I didn't just come here for a conference. I didn't just fly over here to preach. Come on, I came over here for a move of God. I said I came over here for a move of God. I came over here for a move of God. And I declare that revival is not coming. I said revival is not coming. I declare revival is not coming. I said revival is not coming. I declare revival is not coming. I declare that revival is here. Somebody shout, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here. Will you believe it? Can you receive it? Will you provoke a move of God tonight in the house? Amen. You know, over this last year, we saw the craziest revival that I've ever been a part of. Now, I want to take you and show you a little bit of what's happened in our life and in our church by the grace and the glory of God. Would you open up your Bibles to the book of James? Let's go to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. Very known scripture, very known passage here. James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Here's what it says. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Jesse and I were flying here. Jesse's got this pastoral anointing on her life. Everywhere we go, people tell her all of their problems, tell her about their family, tell her about everything in their life. She knows their mama, their grandmama, their cousins, their first cousins. She knows everybody by the time you get off the airplane. How many preachers have ever gotten on an airplane and just not want to talk to anybody? Amen? What I do is I dress like the Unabomber whenever I get on the airplane. That's my move. I put my hood on. I put my sunglasses on. I got my earphones in. And they're like, Timothy McVeigh got springed or something like that. He's here. And I was telling that on Sunday morning before we flew up here to our church. People were laughing at me. I got a big kick out of it. And I got on the plane and I sat down. And a woman sat down beside me. She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm out of sorts. She said, my dad just passed away. And she did this before I could get my Unabomber outfit on, is what she did. And so I got into a conversation with her, and it didn't last for an hour. It didn't last for 2 hours. It lasted for 3 hours on the plane. And I could feel God laughing at me because I said, when I get on the plane, I'm not going to minister to anybody. And what this woman began to do is confess her trespasses to me. And I got to pray for her. I got to preach the gospel to her. When I got off the plane, she had me meet her husband. Like, I know everybody now. You know, there's a healing that comes whenever we confess our trespasses to one another. Can I get an amen? Right? It doesn't come when we confess someone else's trespasses to one another. How many know it's more fun to talk about your problems and my problems, but no healing occurs whenever I talk about you. It only occurs when I talk about me. And acting like we have it all together never does anything for anybody. Can I get an amen out there? There's a vulnerability that changes the atmosphere in the room. Makes it okay to receive healing. Makes it okay to let somebody else know that you need the grace of God, and that validates them needing the grace of God. This is a place where you can be yourself. This is a place where you can pour your life out on the altar. This is a place where you can confess your trespasses to one another that you may be healed. He says this, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Come on, church, our prayers have power, don't they? I said our prayers have power, don't they? Whenever you pray, hell gets afraid. Whenever you pray, heaven stands up. Whenever you pray, angels start to move. You know, your pastor and I, we were in a meeting in Texas. This is October, a year ago, October. And there were about four of us in the room that night. And it was a little bit of the beginning of the move of God that came to our church. And Pastor Daniel preached a couple of nights. One of my friends from Tennessee was up in the pulpit preaching. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I felt something touch me on my back. I turned around to look to see who was touching me, and there was nobody there. And I'm like, I close my eyes. I go back into worship. Something touches me. A physical hand comes on my side. And I'm like, what in the world is that? I turn around. Nothing's there. About that time, Pastor Daniel, he spins around to me. And he said, Brian, something's touching me. I think angels are in the room touching me. He's on one side of me. A couple of minutes later, Jessie's on the other side of me. She turns around. She says, Brian, something just touched me. I turned around. There's nothing physically in the room. Our friend, Pastor Shane Warren from Cookeville, Tennessee, was up in the pulpit. Shane takes the stage. He has the pulpit. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, right after we say that on the platform, he didn't hear it. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I believe there are angels in the room. Something just touch me. Come on, whenever we pray, the angelic are released. Whenever we pray, ministering servants to the heirs of salvation start to come forth. I declare the angelic are in the room right now, and before the end of the night, there are angels that are going to touch people and carry away afflictions and loose healing on your life, and something good's going to happen to you in the house tonight. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Come on, somebody say, my prayers have power. Amen? You know, whenever my daughter, she's on her way here right now, got delayed a little bit, but she'll be here. It's her first year in ORU. She was turning 10 years old, and I was driving down the road with her, and she looked up at me, and she said this. She said, Dad, I'm getting ready to turn 10 years old. And I said, I know, honey. She says, I've been thinking about what I want for my birthday. And I'm like, well, what do you want for your birthday, doll? What would you like for your birthday? And she says, well, I've been thinking about what I want for my birthday. And she said, I want to go to Disney World. And I turned around and I looked at her and I'm like, honey, for your birthday, you get a doll, you get a cake, right? You have a party, you get some cards or something like that. But you don't get a $10,000 trip to Disney World. It's not what you get for your birthday, all right? So I shut it down. I killed her faith. I was that dream killer that day, right? I said, yeah, no, it's not going to happen to you. She's 10 years old. She looks up at me and she says, well, Dad, you may not take me to Disney World, but I'm going to pray. And if you won't take me, Jesus will take me to Disney World, is what she says. And then she starts praying a prayer like Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, and Kenneth Copeland had a love child together, is what she does. She says, right now, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I believe, I receive. I'm taking a trip to Disney World. I bind every foul spirit that would try to kill my dream and keep me from going to Disney World. Right now, I thank you that the power of God's upon me. I thank you that I'm going to ride Space Mountain. I'm going to go up and dine with the princesses. I'm going to have the cotton candy. I'm going to Disney World. I believe, I receive all this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I turned and looked at her, and I'm like, you manipulative little thing back there. I said, I look at her and I'm like, how am I going to tell this kid that she's not going to Disney World after she prayed a prayer like that, right? She got me in an arm bar. Driving down the road, I promise you this, I'm sitting there and the phone rings about a minute later. I look down at the area code. Guess where they're calling me from? Orlando, Florida. I pick up the phone. I answer it. It's a pastor friend of mine that pastored in Orlando, Florida. And he says, hey, Brian, I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, you just came to my mind. God spoke to me. He says, I want you to preach, and I need to have you come preach in our church. Well, you mind to come preach in our church? I said, sure, Caleb, I'll come preach in your church. When do you want me to have? I have me come up there. And he said, I want you to come on May 29th. You know when Briley's birthday is? The next day, May 30th. Come on, somebody. I turned around and I said, Briley, looks like you're going to Disney World. She smiled ear to ear and she said, Jesus loves me. Come on, somebody. Jesus loves us. Can I get an amen out there? Now listen, some of you are like, what does that matter, Disney World? One day it may be Disney World. God's training our kids. Tomorrow it'll be the nations. He's going to give us the nations for our inheritance. Our sons and our daughters are going to ask for permission in our cities. They're going to give the permission in our cities. Can I get an amen? Our children are for signs and wonders. He'll pour his spirit on our descendants. His blessing on our offspring. Power of God. Tell you what, those of you that need a child in the womb, I'm looking at you. I believe every one of you is called to have seven more children in Jesus' name right now. Spirit of multiplication is being released right now. God's going to drop orphans off on people's doorsteps before me. No, I'm playing with you right now. But there's miracles. If you need a child in the womb, stand up right now. You want a child in the womb, stand up right now. Stand up if you're married. If you're married, thank you, Pastor. If you're married, gonna do this right. Shaka-ra-ba-ka-ra-ba-ka. Come on, come on. Lift a hand to heaven, those of you that are married and you want a child. Ramba-vata-ba-sa-sa-ka. Right here, I loose the word of the Lord to your life. I hear laughter in your house. I prophesy laughter in your house. I prophesy laughter in your house. God's going to move in ways you can't even imagine or think about. Right back there, the couple on the right, got the hat on right there. You see me looking at you? Yeah. Put your hand up a little higher. I see you. Within 24 months, there's a child in your arms. Within 24 months, there may be sooner, but within 24 months, there's a child in your arms. Come on, everybody else, lift your hand a little higher right now. We lose miracles. Come on, believers right around them. Mamas, believers right around them, put your hand on their shoulder right now. We loose the power of God into your life. I prophesy and I declare the miracle-working power of God. Fruit of the womb is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming in the name of Jesus. I declare it. I decree it. I say it's so in Jesus' mighty name. Now, everybody else, lift your hand up a little higher right now, all around this room. I feel the wonders are starting to come. I prophesy oil on your hands. I prophesy gold is coming on your hands right now. I prophesy signs from heaven are breaking out in this room right now. Things you can't explain, things you don't know, things that make you wonder, things you've never seen before. I declare it's coming over you and on you. Oil is starting to flow by the end of this session. It'll be coming out of hands all over this place. I declare it, I decree it. God's ripping through the atmosphere even now. Even now. Even now, the wonders, the wonders, the wonders, the wonders. I declare it in the name of Jesus. The signs are all listed. These signs will follow them that believe. But the wonders are innumerable. Work the wonders of God. Work the work of God. Come on, reach a hurting, dying land. Lift your hands up a little higher. There it comes, 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 there it comes. Now, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Can I get an amen? I want some of you to pull out the light on your cell phone, shine it on your hand. There's going to be gold on hands all over this room in 1 second. Watch this, in 1 second. Just pull out your phone, shine it on your hands. The Bible says this, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. How many of y'all have something on your hands? Look at your hands right now. Your hands will start to sparkle with the presence of God. It's coming. How many of y'all got something on your hands? Lift your hand up right there, right there. Y'all look at this. Did I touch anybody's hands in here? I touch anybody's hands in here? No, what? Did I touch your hands out there? No. You know what that is? Gotta wonder what that is. Amen? What is that? It's a sign gift. You learn to do that, you can get the unbeliever's attention. You know, the first time I saw that, I was in my 20s. And I was already spirit-filled. And I went to a spirit-filled church. My brother went to a crazy church. Like, I was spirit-filled, but these people were like holy mackerel tabernacle, you know? You never knew what was going to happen over there. And every Sunday, they pushed for new realms of oddity. It was just their thing. And he told me there's a prophet that came to our church. And he said, this prophet comes to our church whenever he prophesies. He said, gold falls whenever this man walks around and preaches. And I said, man, you guys are crazy. I was safer in the crack house than I'd be in your church house. That's what I told him. Now, I said, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to look. This is some kind of hustle, and I'm going to figure it out. And I walked in, and I walked in there. I'm going into the church house. And as I'm walking into the church house, all of a sudden I get a call from my dad. My dad calls and he says, Brian, I got to tell you something. Your dog just got hit by a truck. Said the vet's already shut down, but his leg's stuck straight out behind him. As soon as the vet opens up in the morning, I'm going to take him in. He's all messed up, and I'm like, what a bummer. So I walk into this meeting, and there's an Indian prophet by the name of Mahesh Shavda. And Shavda walks in, and he starts singing this scripture out loud. He used to sing this all the time. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, liberty. Liberty. It's a good little ditty. I mean, I should go on the road with that number right there. Amen. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, liberty, liberty. And as he did it, all of a sudden gold started falling from the skies. And I got up out of my seat, and I watched everywhere that man of God would walk at, gold would fall on him. And I looked up at the air conditioning system because I thought it was a hustle and nobody gets Brian. Amen? So I was looking to see how they were doing this and they weren't doing it. And all of a sudden he stops, he turns around. He says, there's a young man here and your dog just got hit by a truck. God says, I'm going to heal your dog's leg if you'll respond to this call. And I wasn't going to be the broke dog leg guy, so I hid. And my sister-in-law sold me out. She's like, it's him, it's him. And I'm like, snitches get stitches, Janie, and end up in ditches, amen? She sold me out. So I stood up, and Mahesh said, thus saith the Lord, your dog's healed, God's touching your life, and he's moving in your family, and he prophesied other things. I walked out. I called my father. I said, you'll never believe what happened in this meeting. And he went outside. He said, hold on, let me go check. He went and looked at the dog. He came back in visibly. You could hear it through the call. He was shaking. He said, Brian, that dog's leg was broken. That dog is totally whole right now. His leg is perfect. Come on, somebody. Jesus healed my dog. Amen? Now, he won't heal cats because they're of the devil, but he is a healer of dogs. Amen? Witches have cats. Prophets have dogs. I've harassed cat people all around the planet. Everywhere I go, I harass cat people. It's a call of mine in Jesus' name. So, you know what was pretty cool? God healed my dog. You know what was cooler than that? Whenever God healed my dog, my dad got born again. My dad got saved because that dog got healed. Come on. Now, my dad died not many years after that, but now I know that my dad's not in my past. He's in my future because a prophet that worked in the wonders of God prophesied boldly, wasn't ashamed of the miracles, and God touched my dad's life. Come on. God's going to do that in Wasilla, Alaska. Can I get a name? Come on. We have a nature. We have a nature like Elijah. The Bible says the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It says Elijah is a man after your own nature. Isn't it good to know that the prophets of the Old Testament were as messed up as you can be at times? Amen. Somebody cuts me off in traffic in my hometown. I don't know about you, but I get mad sometimes, right? We have a dear friend that Jesse cut off in traffic the other day. She didn't know it was Jesse, and our friend flipped off the pastor in town. Amen? And it's a politician's spouse. Isn't that hilarious? She looked over, and she realized what she'd done. Now I'm like, yeah, there's hope for you because Elijah is a man with a nature like yours. He was high, he was low, right? He had bad days and good days. God still used him. How many know if God could use Elijah, God could use somebody like us? Come on, if God could use a prophet like that that goes and hides and hopes to die, God could use us. Can I get an amen? You know, Elijah was living in a tough time. There was evil in the land. It would remind you a lot of the last 4 years in America. There was a weak king by the name of Ahab. Also, he was married to a woman by the name of Jezebel. And she brought pagan worship to the people of God in Israel and led them away, and they got astray. They went after the Baals and the Ashtoreth. Baal, you can still see him today. Look at the bull at Wall Street, right? That's the beginning of Baal. Baal said to Israel, if you give me your children, we talk a lot about Molech worship and sacrifice and offering children to Molech, but they also offered kids to Baal. You can find even ancient dwellings all the way over to England where they worship Baal in the pagan days, where they would sacrifice a child, put them in the corner of their house in the foundation. And they believed that they would give their little ones to Baal, that Baal would give them economic prosperity. Sounds like the same thing Planned Parenthood's been telling young women in America for generations, doesn't it? That child is a problem. Kill it and you can still prosper. Keep it and you'll be impoverished. But what I found in my life is every time I have a kid, God doubles my money. Come on, somebody. I believe God won't give you a kid he won't provide for. And every child is precious in the sight of God. Can I get an amen out there? We curse that spirit of Baal, and I declare that Planned Parenthood is coming down. Planned Parenthood is coming down. Planned Parenthood is coming down. We bind you, Planned Parenthood. You baby-killing lunatics. Jesus' name. There's the Baal. Then there's the Ashtoreth. The Ashtoreth was everything that's sensual, everything that's sexual, everything that's perverse. The first mention we have of pornography was the written stories about Ashtoreth. And you know, Ashtoreth later on becomes Venus, becomes Aphrodite, the god of sensuality and love. You know what they said about Ishtar or Ashtoreth, called different ways? They said that the Ashtoreth was the one that makes male female and makes female male. Have y'all heard that anywhere in the news lately? It's a new day, but it's the same old devil. Can I get an amen? It's a devil of confusion, a devil that wants to steal kids' future and their fertility. And one of the most significant things they'll ever do in their life, which is to parent a child. The priest of Ishtar, Ashtur, or Venus, or Aphrodite, they would literally emasculate themselves in a service to their god. They would cut off their genitals, throw them before Ashtur, his worship. Whenever Elijah said this and saw this, he got ticked off. How many know there's some things that the righteous ought to be angry about? We ought not live angry or be angry people. How many of y'all think we ought to be happy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? But we're not happy about everything. Can I get an amen out there? There's some things we got to fight against in culture. There's some things we better speak up against in culture. There's some things the church better prophesy against in culture. I'm thankful for a pastor in this church that'll lift up his voice and prophesy against darkness and declare the light of God and stand and say, here I stand, whatever you got to do, do it, man. But I'm not moving from this place, amen? Elijah is like that. He walks into the courts of Ahab and Jezebel. He's mad. He's ticked off about what they've done to his country. And he says this. He says, it won't rain until I say it'll rain again. Come on. How many know you got the power to declare and shut the heavens? You have the power. Somebody say, I have the power to shut the heavens. Say, I have the power to open the heavens. Say it again. I have the power to shut the heavens. I have the power to open the heavens. You know, Jesse and I got involved in a fight, a national fight. We didn't mean to get involved in the national fight, but it happened. We didn't go picking a fight, but they picked a fight with us. They came about 4 years ago and they told us we had to shut down the church of the Lord Jesus Christ over a virus. And I don't know about you, but I'm not standing 6 foot away from anybody. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not taking your shot. I'm not playing your game. I'm not going to bow my knee when the national anthem plays. I'm not a part of your tribe. I'm an Elijah. And I came over here to prophesy. And I don't need you to like me. And I don't need your book deal. And I don't need to be on your Christian magazine. And I don't care if you invite me to your conference. I'm not a court prophet. I'm an independent prophet. I live out in the woods with my people. But whenever God taps on my shoulder, I'll come down here and I'll prophesy. That's what Elijah's like. Elijah says it. Forget the consequences. It's time for a man of God. And he shows up and he says, it won't rain till I say it'll rain. And all hell breaks loose. Jesse and I, we woke up one day. We got a call. They told us to keep our church shut or they'd take our everything away in the state of Kentucky. And, you know, whenever you call and you issue threats, people answer threats. Amen? So what I did when the government told me that in the state of Kentucky is I called all the news outlets. I put together a communion service. I said, I'm going to have church this Sunday. I'm coming down there. We're going to have communion. I'm going to pray for everybody. I'm going to touch their eyes. I'm going to lick my tongue. I'm going to pray for them. I'm coming. We're going to have church. And we did it. You know what happened? The press wrote one positive article about me in my life. Amen? That's a miracle. Somebody give God for one positive article from the press. Amen? And the next day, 4 o'clock in the morning, I get a call from a friend of mine. And he says, Pastor, you're on Fox News right now. And I said, I'm on local Fox? Because that wouldn't be a stretch. He said, no, man, you're on Fox and Friends first right now. I got up, I turned on National Fox, and there was this beautiful white guy preaching on Fox right there. And I'm like, I said, holy moly, what just happened? And it threw me into a national fight. And that thing went up, and I was called to the fight. And I fought, and come on, God opened up churches, 5,000 churches around America. We did a back-to-church Sunday. All pastors were waiting on was a little push from somebody, and they opened up 5,000 churches. We came together from New York to L.A. We ought to give God a hand clap for that. Didn't stop there, though. It got nasty. Found myself in a national fight. I was preaching a little day called January 5th. 2021 in Washington, D.C. Y'all know there was something that happened the day after that. How many of y'all have heard of January 6th before? Y'all ever heard of that? I was over there preaching. We had a gospel crusade out in D.C. Had 10,000 people born again in the streets on January 5th, 2021. Millions of people watching online. Largest harvest I've ever seen in America. Well, the next day, what happened on J6 happened on J6. Because I've been ministering to people in political power. I was on every video associated with that. They had pictures of me with Giuliani and Flynn and Roger Stone and all of these guys. I've been speaking with all of them. Whenever they came after those guys, they came after me. The FBI tore my life apart for a year and a half. The January 6th committee came after me. I went through a congressional inquisition. They sent DHS to my kids' schools. They arrested one of my dear people on a charge that was let go by the feds years ago because they were within arm's reach of me. They tore my life to shreds for 2 years. Tell you what, there is evil in the land unlike you could ever imagine. And what we need is we need a spirit of Elijah, and more than a spirit of Elijah, we need a Jehu, come on, to dethrone Jezebel and to bring order back to the land. And I'm telling you, the Elijahs are in the room right now. Come on, church, the prophets are in the room. The prophets of God are in Wasilla, Alaska. The prophets are here. They're going to dethrone Jezebel. They're going to change Ahab. They're going to restore order into Israel. Can I get an amen? You know, it was more than I signed up for. People said, would you change something? I wouldn't have changed what I did. I might have changed the way I responded. Because it just about broke me. I don't know if you've ever been in a vice grip like that. But there's pressure. And there's stuff I didn't know that was still floating around in me. You get in a squeeze like that, it starts to come out. And I wasn't suicidal, but I kind of wanted to die. Anybody ever been there? I'd go to a funeral. I'd be like, guys in the casket. I'm like, look at that lucky joker all dead and stuff. There you are dead. I'm down here fighting the feds and the FBI and Antifa and J6 committee and the devil and some people in my church I don't like. And I didn't want to commit suicide, but I didn't want to live. You know what I mean? Now I got a woman up here on the front row that loves me. Now I got a woman up here on the front row that's an intercessor. You know what she did every time she came into the sanctuary? She'd walk to the sanctuary and she'd fall down on the altar and she'd pray, God, send revival. God, send revival. God, you have to do something in our life. God, you have to touch this church. God, you have to pour something out. God, you have to move. She knew the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. It avails much. It does something. She started to pray. And I'll tell you what, she prayed and she touched heaven. I don't think I had one thing to do with what happened in our church. But she started praying. We were in the church one Sunday. And she's leading worship on Sunday morning. She gets up in the altar leading worship. She stops the whole set. She shuts everything down. And she says this. She says, I'm supposed to tell somebody out there today. I'm supposed to prophesy to you. I have the word of the Lord for you. I'm supposed to tell you you'll live and not die. And you'll declare the works of the Lord. I'm drinking my latte on the front row. I'm like, well, that's a good scripture, honey. I wouldn't have shut the whole worship set down to say that. And she's looking at me like, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, yes, I do. How many of y'all communicate telepathically with your spouse? You know what I'm talking about? And that word didn't mean a lot until 8 minutes a guy dropped dead up in the balcony. When the bodies hit the floor, you'll live and not die, declare the works of the Lord matters, doesn't it? And so people start scrambling, they start moving, they start doing everything they can. The medical people hit the person, there are nurses up there, there's cardiac nurses, they're all around the guy, and we pray. We're streaming to 3 different locations at the time. All of the churches start praying. We're praying in tongues, we're praying in the spirit. After about 8 or 9 minutes of prayer, I walk up there, they tell me the guy's gone. I look at him, he's white, his eyes have rolled back in his head, his mouth is open. I stop, I look at him. How many know we want to raise the dead, but it's a bummer when somebody dies in church, amen? It's just such a bummer. Now I look at him and I'm like, I agree what was prophesied, what Jesse prophesied. I declare you'll live and not die. You'll declare the works of the Lord. I said, I rebuke death and I command life into you. And whenever I said life, that brother opened up his eyes, sucked the biggest breath of air he could into his lungs. All of a sudden he sat up, he looked around and he said, I'm good. That's what he did. Straight up. And God raised the dead in our church on a Sunday morning in front of everybody. Come on, our Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life. I said, he's the resurrection. He is the life. Come on, church. He is the resurrection. And he is the life. God doesn't just raise the dead in Africa and India. God raises the dead in America. Do you believe it out there? You would think the first guy that got raised from the dead would kick off a mighty revival. But it didn't. It took about another month. We were together. Your pastor was there in the room. And he stood up and he prophesied. He said, golden oil is going to flow out of this congregation. Pastor Josh Morocco came right after that. He was in the room one day and he said he prophesied. He said, the dead have been raised in here once. He said, God's going to raise the dead in this house again soon. We had a pastor on our staff that wasn't there that night. And he said, man, I'm ticked off. I wasn't there whenever the dead were raised. And he started praying. He said, God, I want you to give me fresh dead. That's what he prayed. That's an insane prayer. That's a psychopathic prayer, isn't it? Sounds like something you would cry out during the plague in Britain back in the day. Bring out your fresh dead whenever the collecting bodies or something, right? And so he preached one night in my church. And a guy walked in. He had a hat on. This was like a year ago, December. This guy had a hat on. I turned to the other pastor. I said, watch that dude with the hat. Something's going to happen with him. There's a spirit on him tonight. And he said, all right, I'll watch him, pastor. The other pastor preached, and he preached so bad that night, someone died. His preaching was so bad, someone died. It's a pretty bad sermon, isn't it, when people start dying? Amen. And we look over. The guy starts seizing up. He's in this hat. He's seizing up. And I think a devil's thrown him on the ground. I walk over there to cast the devil out of the man. And I get close to him. He's shaking and he's writhing. And the next thing you know, he dies. It's not a devil. He is dying right there. He hits the ground. Cardiac nurse comes, gets his artery up here. Somebody's on his leg. I'm telling you what, he turns gray. His eyes roll back in his head. His bowels release. He's dead. We gather around. My daughter's on stage. She grabs the word that Jesse prophesied the first time. She starts singing it. You'll live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. You'll live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. You'll live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. You know what happened? You'll live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. We're jumping. I start jumping up and down and praying. So how many know with my 2-inch vertical, every time I jump, I'm 2 inches closer to heaven. Amen? I got hops up here. And if you jump, God might hear you better than down here low. I'm short. Anyway, when this pastor preaches, he's 6'8". God hears him. I have to jump a little bit. I'm jumping. We're all jumping. We're screaming, live. This guy's dead. It's long enough. The paramedics have shown up. They're coming through the back door. We're around him. My big football player, campus pastor, is like doing the compressions on his chest. As soon as it happens, you could hear the man's bones crushing and cracking out loud. He's in his 70s. All of a sudden, we're praying. We scream, live. After about 15 minutes, they're looking at him. Let's see, he's dead, pastor. We scream, live. All of a sudden, this guy sucks air again into his mouth, opens up his eyes, looks around, and he says, I'm fine. Come on, church. We saw the dead raised 2 times in 3 months. Come on. Our God is the resurrection. I said, our God is the resurrection. Our God is the resurrection. Our God is the resurrection. And he is alive. Can I get an amen out there? Don't you know he'll do it? Don't you know he'll do it? Don't you know cancer's no big deal? Don't you know HIV's no big deal? Don't you know COVID's no big deal? He's the resurrection. He is the life. Amen. God poured out a revival that night. My wife couldn't clamp her hand because of an injury forever. She saw the dead raised the second time. She said, if God can raise the dead, he's going to fix my hand. I can't clamp my finger together. She reached up her hand. Bam! God healed her hand right there. 4 deaf people in the room, deaf from birth. They saw that dead man get up. They stand up. We declare that their ears are open. Ears popped open all over the place. Since then, there's been so many miracles. We can't record them fast enough. We're losing what's happened. We're not writing them down right. Come on, God poured out a revival unlike we've ever seen. I really think it's this. It's that prophet shut the heavens once. The second time he came back, you know what he prophesied? He said, I hear the sound. Do you hear what I hear, church? I hear the sound. Come on, I hear the sound. Somebody say, I hear the sound. Say it again, I hear the sound. One more time, I hear the sound. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Amen? Elijah prophesied. You know the rest of the story. The rain came. I believe that rain is ready and ripe to blow across the plains and the mountains and the states and the bayou, come on, and the panhandle of Florida and Idaho. The rain is ripe and ready to come and touch America one more time. Don't you want to see it? I declare revival is not coming. I said revival is not coming. I declare revival is not coming. I declare it's here. It's here. It's here in the name of Jesus. I hear the sound of an abundance of.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.